Take your Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we'll read the first five verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. First John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, what a wonderful blessing it is to have a church and to know that when you go there, your presence will be here. Your hand is upon this place. Father, we've heard your people sing praises back to you. We've heard these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people read your word back to you. But yet we're still a needy people. We're in need of a blessing tonight. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. May we get what you have for us so we could go out and reach the world, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I want to say to you about John chapter 6, verse 33. We did not read it earlier, but let me tell you, in John 6, 33, Jesus said this. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. The whole concept in that verse, Jesus was comforting his children by saying, I've overcome the world. Now I've set an example for you that you can overcome the world as well. You read together a moment ago in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, it says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In verse 5 it says, Who is he that overcometh the world? Now, let me tell you something. As we read this here, notice in two verses it says, it talks about being an overcomer, an overcomer, an overcomer. Three times in two verses, overcomer, be an overcomer, be an overcomer. Listen, folks, God wants Christians to be overcomers. He wants us to be overcomers. It says here in verse number 5, it says, Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So here's what happens. We trust Jesus Christ. We believe on him as our Savior, and that saves us. Now, that salvation then enables you and I to be overcomers in this world. And that's what this is teaching. We can overcome the world, or we can overcome the flesh, because we are now saved and we have sealed within us Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he's already proven that he can overcome the world. And so then we can overcome the world. The word overcomer here has nothing to do with you working for your salvation. As you look through the scripture and the Bible talks about people being overcomers, you don't overcome anything except for dependence on yourself or anything else for salvation, meaning this. When you get saved, you've got to put you aside and let Jesus do all the saving. You must overcome your pride and just humble yourself. But the truth is, all the saving is done by God. You don't do any of that. You overcome nothing to get saved. You receive freely a gift called salvation. For instance, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, For by grace are you saved. The word grace there means unmerited favor. It's not earned. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not saved by your works. Therefore, when we talk about being an overcomer, it's not talking about salvation here. Overcoming is effort on your part. The Bible says you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5 says, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Here the Bible tells us it's according to His mercy He saved us. It's not by the works that we have done. It's not by our righteousness. The Bible teaches once you get saved, by the way, that's a gift. You receive it freely. But once you get saved, you're always saved. You didn't work to get it. You don't work to keep it. It's a one-time done deal, an investment of your faith in Jesus Christ and the very faith that He gave you to invest in Him. He even gave you the faith that you invest back into Him. You have a choice of where you want to invest that faith. I'd recommend you invest it in Jesus. That's how you get saved. But once you're saved, you're always saved. The Bible says in John 10:27. 28 and 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That word man there, that means man or woman. And here it says, you can't take yourself out of the hand of God. You're a man or a woman. You got to be one of the two. So you can't take yourself out of God's hand. And God said, when I save you, I put you in my hand, I clamp down on you, you're there for all eternity, and nobody can pry my fingers open. You're saved, you have security as a believer in Jesus Christ. So when we talk about being an overcomer in the Bible, we're not talking about overcoming to earn salvation. That's not what it's talking about. Like I said, if there's anything you need to overcome in regard to being saved, it's your own pride and self-reliance. But that's you turning to the Savior and letting Him do all the saving. It's no effort on your part. It's you realizing He does all the saving and you do all the letting. Brother Brett, I'm going to turn this mic on if I could. But in the Bible, there are many overcomers. Well, I've been so excited about this sermon. This will be the third time I've preached it today. I was very excited about my poor wife. We were on our way into church tonight, and I said, honey, let me share a little something with you. And so for about 45 minutes, she heard this sermon as I quoted it by memory to her. We got out here at the church. I parked my truck out here, went in my office, and I stood up and I was walking around in there with my Bible and I was preaching it again. I was so excited about it. So tonight, I'm going to preach a sermon to you. I've already preached twice today. I like this idea of being an overcomer. I really, really do. As you look through the Bible, you see overcomer after overcomer after overcomer. I look at the Apostle Paul, who was once named Saul. This man, I believe, was very much so an overcomer. He had a late start in life. The Apostle Paul was not reared in an independent fundamental Baptist church all of his life. Didn't go to the Christian school. He went to religious schools, but they were not the schools of God. He started late in life. He got saved late in life. He really had a bit of a wicked past. He'd gotten caught up in politics and religion combined. He had actually stood and watched Christians stoned to death as he persecuted the church. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul knew that he was a sinner. And I don't think Paul was just saying here, I'm a sinner just like everyone else. Paul said, I'm a bad sinner. I come from a bad background. I had a late start. I caught on to the things of God late. I got saved late. But let me tell you something. Paul was an overcomer. He may have gotten a late start in his Christianity, but he had an early finish. I mean, this old boy, he got to running. Yeah, you know, if you get out of the gate late on a race, you got to work extra hard to get caught up. But he also said, I have finished my course. He said, I started late, but I finished one of the first ones across the finish line. Those of you say, Brother Owens, I just got saved. I've not been at it for long. I got saved late. I'm not like these little ones on the front row down here that got saved when they were 4 or 5 years old. I've not been in the church all this time. But the ones I got a late start. Don't let that bother you, buddy. You can be an overcomer. You can be an overcomer. Moses had to be an overcomer. Do you realize that Moses, number one, Moses had a terrible temper. He had a bad temper. Moses had some problems to overcome. Listen to this story. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. When he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Moses got so ticked off one day, he killed a guy and buried him in a sandbox.
Right. This was early in Moses' life. Now tell me, don't you think this guy had something to overcome having killed a man?
Yes, sir.
He sure did. God had to send him on the backside of the desert, slap some sense into him, humble him down a little bit, get him ready to be used. You say, Brother Owens, I've done some things in my past. They were wicked. Hey, Moses had done some things in his past that were pretty tough. I doubt that you murdered anybody. Moses killed a man. But let me tell you something. Moses was an overcomer because many years later, God calls him up and says, I'm going to have you lead 3 million plus Jews through the wilderness. Hey, this man became a man of miracles. But he was an overcomer, you see. Not only was Paul an overcomer, not only was Moses an overcomer, Peter was an overcomer. Peter had a bit of a pride problem. There's a point where Peter, he says to Jesus in Matthew 26:35, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Peter said, I'm not going to deny you, Jesus. I'm too good of a Christian. And Jesus said, you are going to deny me. It's not long until you hear the old cock crowing. And Peter had denied Christ. The Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. He'd been cocky and arrogant and because of it somewhat unusable by God. He thought he could do it on his own and in his flesh, and he fell right flat on his face. And most good Christians that fall, or people that are in lofty positions that fall, were not walking in the Spirit when they fell. But Peter falls. Oh my! You want to talk about some depression? Peter had walked with Jesus Christ. He was a part of the inner circle. I'm sure Peter had some depression to overcome. Peter had denied that he even knew Jesus Christ. He'd warmed himself by the devil's fire. He denied that he knew him. He lied. He cussed. And suddenly he realized that old cockroach. And Peter said, oh, I did what he said I'd do. I think he was down and out. All of a sudden, we're going to find out what old Peter was made of. We're going to find out if he was knocked down or if he was just knocked out. Something started to happen down inside Peter, and Peter said, I got to get up. I've had a tough time, and I did wrong, and I let myself down, and I let Jesus down, and I let the other disciples down, but I'm not staying down. You might have knocked me down, but I'm getting up. And the next thing you know, old Peter, he's got something happening inside of him, and the Lord said, I need somebody to preach a meeting, and Peter said, I'll try it. They called him to preach the day of Pentecost, and he had 3,000 people saved. He went down in history. After he'd been knocked down, he was an overcomer, see. Gideon was an overcomer. Gideon struggled, I think, with some low self-worth. Gideon didn't realize some things. The Bible says in Judges 6:14-15, it says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Here's what Gideon said. God said, Gideon, I'm going to use you to conquer a people. And Gideon said, me? Me? I mean, I'm from a poor city. And I'm from one of the poorest families in the poor city. And I'm the poorest boy in the poorest family from that poor city. Me? And God said, rise up, Gideon. You're a man of valor. And Gideon had to overcome some self-worth problems. I don't know. Maybe Gideon grew up in a home where mom and dad never praised him. And mom and dad called him names and told him he was worthless. I don't know. Maybe Gideon had a family member that degraded him and called him stupid and called him foolish and made him feel like he was worth nothing. I don't know. But I do know this. You'll find out later on in life, Gideon, he arose up and Gideon became a mighty army. He became a man that could lead. You look at the man named Job. Job was an overcomer. Job, as you know, Job had lost his businesses at a certain point in his life. He'd lost his friends. He'd lost his children. In some way, he had lost his wife. He had lost his health to the point that there were boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. You see, he had gone through loss after loss after loss in life. And sometimes when you and I lose things, we find ourselves beat up. We wonder if we're being forsaken by God. And I'm sure Job asked himself, oh, all the loss. Is God punishing me? What's going on here? But I'll tell you, if you know the whole story of Job, Job was an overcomer. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And he went down in history as the greatest suffering overcomer in history. He was an overcomer. Hey, what do you need to overcome in your life? What things do you have in your life that you just flat out need to challenge and overcome? Listen, I'll promise you something. It is worth it for you to be an overcomer. It is worth it for you to overcome your vices. It is worth it for you to overcome your weaknesses. It is worth it for you to overcome your flesh. And everybody in this building, you have something different than the rest of us to overcome. I have something that I need to overcome. The men on the staff have something they need to overcome. The people in the choir have something they need to overcome. Hey, and I may need to overcome the same thing you do, but I might be at a different level of overcoming than you. It might be I'm a little ahead of you, and I need to overcome and take a step up. And you might be a little behind me in that given area, but it really doesn't matter. We just need to overcome. I'm not trying to compare me to you or you to me. I'm just trying to say everybody here has something to overcome. Indeed, there's somebody here today, and you say, Brother Owen, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't go with the girls that do. And you say, I don't have any of that to overcome. Well, I'm glad for you, but you may have some pride to overcome. It may be that you have a walk with God. For some reason, you can't overcome the alarm clock in the morning and get yourself up and read your Bible and pray like you should. It may be that it is depression that you need to overcome. Everybody here needs to be an overcomer. We need to be overcomers in the Christian life. You know what this world needs? It not only needs you to be a saved Christian, it needs you to be a victorious saved Christian. A victorious saved Christian. Boy, I'll tell you something. The world's full of people that don't think they can. But they need to see some Christians that believe they can. They can. They can. As you look into the faces of these men on the platform, these people out here ought to look on your face and say, I see a face of a man that says I can. By the way, choir, if you're going to set up here, don't set up here with a drab, depressed look on your face. Those people out there don't need to look at you up here thinking, look at her. She can't. She can't. She can't. No, they need to look at you and say, she can. She can. She can. She can. Oh, we get lazy in our Christianity. We get this idea that we can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. What is it you need to do tomorrow? Yes, you can. You can do it for God. You need to become an overcomer. An overcomer. An overcomer. Hey, but I've got good news for you. There are rewards for overcomers. I got to looking at some of the things in the Bible about overcomers. I think you'll like it. Stay with me now. The Bible talks about overcomers in Revelation 2:7. Listen as I read. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, this is talking about there's going to be some things when we get to heaven that overcomers are going to receive. It's talking about the churches in the book of Revelation, in the last days, and you'll see at that time, they talk about these churches, and God begins to talk about people in the churches being overcomers, and here it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Now, that's not talking about you overcome so you earn the right to get saved. That is not what that's talking about, because we already know you're saved by grace through faith. You don't have to overcome anything to get saved. But the word paradise here, it talks about this tree of life in the place that's called paradise, or the paradise of God. The word paradise there means the garden of pleasure. It's equivalent to the Garden of Eden. And here's what God's saying. If you're an overcomer in your life, when you get to heaven, you're going to have the privilege of eating of the tree of life. And the Bible teaches, and I could teach this in a Bible study, I'm not going to, but the Bible teaches in heaven there's going to be a reformation of the Garden of Eden. It'll be called the Garden of God or the Garden of Paradise. And when you get there, if you have accomplished overcoming in life, one day God's going to say, hey, you, Ed Hawkins, you're an overcomer. Come with me. We're going to the Garden of Eden, and you're going to get to pick you some fruit off the tree of life, and you're going to get to eat it, and Satan won't be there this time, and he won't be able to pull you down. He's locked up in the pit called hell. We're going to the Garden of Eden because you're an overcomer. Come with me and get your reward for being an overcomer. He says you're going to get to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Overcomers receive the reward of going into that rebuilt Garden of Eden and enjoying that. No devil this time. He's locked up in the lake of fire. No deception like Adam and Eve had to face. We'll walk into Garden of Eden, or now that's called the Garden of Paradise. We'll look at that tree of life. We'll be able to actually eat of the fruit of the tree of life. It is a reward, God said, is available for overcomers. And there's some of you need to decide, I want to be an overcomer. I want to be an overcomer for the cause of Christ. I want to be an overcomer for the sake of my children and my church. Secondly, there are overcomers mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 11. Listen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Not be hurt of the second death. This means, and listen, when it talks about the second death here, it's talking about the lake of fire. Now understand something. You and I will die once here, and then others will die a second time and be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says here that you and I, we are not going to have to taste of that second death and the torture of the second death. Now, of course, that is because of salvation. But wait a minute. Let me explain something to you. What God is telling the saved here is you may have to suffer some pure persecution before you die the first time. Or you may even die for God the first time around. You may have to suffer the first death. Now, folks, I hate the thought of it. But America is getting more and more rotten. And America is turning on Christianity more and more. And if we're not careful, we'll end up with a Muslim president. And if you end up with a Muslim president, you are probably going to end up on a gallows someday if you're a true blue Christian. Because you will stand for Jesus Christ. And the Muslims are not our friends. And the Quran is against Christianity. The day may come, though, where we in America, like others in other countries, have died for the cause of Christ, persecuted for the cause of Christ, have their heads cut off for the cause of Christ, been driven through with swords for the cause of Christ, been burnt at the stake for the cause of Christ, have been drowned for the cause of Christ. And the Lord comes along here and He said, those of you that overcome the first death, don't you worry, you won't have to suffer the second death. And what He's saying is, if it gets tough and you're persecuted and you get beat up and abused and mocked and teased, and if you get hurt or if you even get killed for me, don't you worry. They can only kill you one time. You don't have to die twice. That's already taken care of. As an overcomer, God said, you don't have to worry about that second death. They can only kill you once down there. And God said, I got you covered from that point on. You see, as an overcomer, there are some wonderful, wonderful rewards. As an overcomer, I get the privilege of going into this Garden of God and eating of the fruit of the tree of life. As an overcomer, they can only kill me once down here. But when I get to heaven, I have the privilege of knowing I'll never face the second death like the God rejectors. Number three, there's the overcomers that are rewarded. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 17, where the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Notice, it's to an individual. It says to him, as an individual, you have a chance to be an overcomer. And listen to this. Every teenager here, you need to be an overcomer. Not just your mom and dad. You need to be an overcomer. You young men down here, you need to be overcomers. You young ladies, you need to be overcomers. You children, you need to be overcomers. Hey, senior citizen, you're to be an overcomer. You're to be keeping on in life. Hey, what you face is different than what I face, and what I face is different than what the teenager's faith, but every one of us are to be overcomers. It says, to him that overcometh. It's an individual promise. But it says here, to these overcomers in Revelation 2:17, it says, I'm going to do this. He said, this overcomer is going to receive eating of the hidden manna. That's what it said. Listen to it. It says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of hidden manna. Now, you ever wonder, what in the world are we going to do while we're up there in heaven? Well, some of these things are going to happen. One of these days, those of you that get this label, and what a privilege. Hey, wouldn't it be something if you got to heaven and, yeah, you're a Christian. But wonder if you get to heaven and God said, hey, I've been waiting on you. You're one of them overcomers. You get in on the overcomer stuff. You get the overcomer rewards. Some of you, one of these days, you're going to get to heaven and God has watched you and God knows you're an overcomer. And he's going to say to you, all right, Mike Bajan, you're an overcomer. God's going to say, come on, Mike. He can call you by your first name, right? He's going, come on, Mike. Come on. And God's going to say, I've got something I want you to get into. He said, I've got some hidden manna. In other words, God had some manna that he has set aside. It's in a special vault in heaven. It's been hidden. And you talk about sweet taste and food. And you know something I like about this? The very first reward had to do with us eating. Here's another one that has to do with us eating. And I like that. Man, when we get to heaven, I can't wait. We're going to go to the wedding supper of the Lamb. That means we're having chow, baby. I mean, I'm so glad God decided to give us food in heaven. Wouldn't be worth going. Hey, you know what? I believe in hell they don't have no food. We're going to have it made. It says there's hidden manna. Wow. The Bible, according to Psalm 78, verse number 24, the Bible says in verse 24, it mentions the word manna. In verse number 25, it says man did eat angel's food. You know what manna is? Man is angel's food. Not devil's food cake. This is angel's food. When you get to heaven, Brother Bajan, and God puts on you that label of an overcomer, one of these days he's going to say, Mike, come with me. I'm going to take you to my special dining room. He's going to pop open the lid of this little jewel case. He's going to say, you see what's down in there? He said, that's angel's food. Human race can't taste of that food. That's angel's food. Hey, Brother Mike, taste that. Boy, you're going to stick your finger down in there and you're going to lick that thing. You're going to go, woo-hoo! My tongues are slapping my taste buds and my tonsils silly. Woo! Oh, that's good. Why? It's special manna. God said, overcomers get to eat of that angel's food, that special hidden manna. Not only that, the Bible says here, if you were listening, it says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And in the stone is the new name which is written. A white stone. Now what does that mean? Well, actually the white stone comes from Bible days. It had to do with judicial matters or customs. If someone had been on trial and they felt like that person was going to end up being found guilty, they would hand them a black stone. So the guilty would be given a black stone. But if someone was going to be found victorious, they were given a white stone, which means they were innocent and pure, and they were released to go free, but it was a sign of victory. So if you've been in court and they handed you a black stone, that means it was a done deal, bud. You're going down and you're in a lot of trouble. But when they hand you the white stone, it meant you get victory. When you get to heaven, Jesus is going to pull the overcomers aside. He's going to take them to this special place. He's going to pop open this little cake. You're going to be sitting there eating manna, angel's food, and Jesus is going to say, I've got something for you, Mike. He's going to pull out a special white stone. He's going to hand it to you, and he said, this is your stone of victory. Now you take it back out there in heaven, and everybody that sees you, they're going to see your white stone. It's going to be a little bit like a Super Bowl ring. Because when you get to heaven, the overcomers, they are somebody. The overcomers are somebody. These are not just the people that, you know, they came to church and took up their 18 inches of pew. No, these are the people that got out of the pew, went out and did something for God. These are the people that the devil, he attacked them. These are the people that went through hell on earth as the devil tried to keep them from getting people to go to heaven. And God said, I got a stone for you. It's going to almost be like a Super Bowl ring. And everybody's going to look at that white stone and say, see that guy right there? He's got a white stone. He got him a white stone. You look at somebody and say, they got them a Rolex. I'm going to have me a white stone. Oh, oil, the white stone, and the angel food from God. That white stone was a picture of victory, where God said, you are a man of victory. You're an overcomer. You see, the overcomers have special rewards that God will give them. The overcomers, they're going to be the ones that will go into that garden of paradise and eat of that tree of life. The overcomers, they're the ones that will get to heaven. And they may go through some tough times living for God down here, but that they have the assurance that they'll not face pain in the second death up there. The overcomer is the one that will get to eat of that hidden manna, the angel's food. The overcomer is the one that will get that gift of the white stone, the Super Bowl ring of heaven. Number four, the overcomer is found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, 27, and 28. Let me read it to you. It says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And later on it says, and I will give him the morning star. Here again, we see the overcomer mentioned. The overcomer is talking about the faithful ones. The overcomers, it says, and keepeth my works. Look, we need to keep on working for God and not quit. Say, I'm tired. Don't quit. I'm a little behind on my bills. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on God. You keep going. God rewards faithfulness. You say, I'm down a little bit. Keep on going for God. I'm depressed. Keep on going for God. You know what? Everybody gets depressed sometimes. Some choose to keep on going, and some just let the depression rob them of taking the next step. You say, I hurt. Everybody hurts sometimes. But some people keep on going for God when they hurt. See, Brother Owens, I'm confused. Everybody gets confused. Everybody does. You're not suffering from anything that everybody else hasn't suffered from at one time or will suffer with at some time. We all face some of the same trials and temptations. But you know what you got to do? I'm going to overcome. I'm going to overcome. Oh, it hurts. I'm going to overcome. Oh, I'm lonely. I'm going to overcome. And overcomers are rewarded by God. They are rewarded by God. And God said this. He says this here. He says, and I will give them power over the nations. You know something? The Bible teaches that the overcomers are going to help Jesus Christ rule and reign someday. In the time when Jesus rules and reigns over this earth, the overcomers will come back and they too will help rule and reign. That means this. Those of you that, hey, you eat a little bit of that tree of life in that garden of paradise, you stick your fingers in that manna and you get to eat a little bit of it, you get your white stone and your Super Bowl ring, and Jesus said, I'm going to need you to help me lead this thing. And he's going to say, I'm going to give you 5 cities that you'll oversee. I'm going to give you 10 cities that you'll oversee. But they will be given to the people that have been overcomers in this life. It says power over the nations. Can you imagine? Hey, those of you who say, Brother Owens, I go through trial after trial after trial and heartache after heartache after heartache. You say, oh, what's God going to do with me? I don't know. It says here he's looking for somebody someday that can help him to lead a nation. You say, how do I qualify? By going to business college and getting me 5 or 6 degrees after my name? No, you qualify by being an overcomer. An overcomer. You say, well, I grew up in a terrible home and my life was a mess and I went to the public school and never had good guidance. My parents never cared about me. I ended up in drugs and alcohol and the whole mess of my life has been a mess. And I lost my first husband or my first wife and I lost my kids and I go through burden after burden. Well, let me give you some good news. It may be that God's not preparing you for something here. God may be preparing for you something up there. And he said, you keep on going because I'm getting ready to use you to be a leader of a nation someday. Be an overcomer. Be an overcomer. Be an overcomer. Be an overcomer. You just keep on going for God. You'll have power over nations, the Bible says. Then it says this. In that same passage of Scripture, and he that overcometh says, and I will give him the morning star. You say, the morning star? What's that? Jesus is the bright and morning star. Jesus is the bright and morning star. God said, I'm going to give you all these other things as an overcomer. And then he said, I'm going to give you Jesus in a special way. Now, we're all going to be with Jesus in eternity, but somehow God is saying, and I will give him the morning star. Oh, my. I don't know how he's going to do it. But somehow those of you that will have the white stone that's eaten from the hidden manna that's tasted of that tree of life. Those of you that will help to rule the nations. Those of you that will be overcomers. Hey, overcomer that's not touched by the pain of the second death. Jesus is going to come to you, and in a special way, God will give you the morning star. He'll give you Jesus. Hey, be an overcomer. You can overcome. You can overcome. Then there's the overcomer number 5 of Revelation chapter 3, verse number 12, where it says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. So what does that mean? Well, when you build something, you have those pillars that become the backbone. You have those pillars. And God said, when as an overcomer, you qualify to be a pillar in the temple of God. A pillar shows strength. Here, hey, look, in this life, folks, sometimes people get picked by personality. In the next life, you're going to get picked by perseverance. Say, I don't have a personality like so-and-so, and I don't have talent like so-and-so. God's not forgotten about you. He said, Brother Owens, it just doesn't seem like I have everything they have. Have you got a backbone? Because, baby, if you got a backbone, you can keep on going, and you may not have personality, and you may not have ability, and you may not have talent, but you got grit, and you got guts, and you got backbone, and you just keep on going for God, because God said, I'm going to reward you for your perseverance. I'm going to reward you for having backbone. As God rewards you for having backbone, He says, I'll make you part of the temple of God. You're going to be part of the backbone. You know, when we get to heaven, we don't have to worry about any liberal organizations in church. There's going to be one temple and one church, and you get to be part of the pillar of that church. Hey, those of you that persevere in this life, say, Brother Owens, I've never gotten a lofty position down here. When you get to heaven, if you will just persevere, you'll get to be part of the backbone of the temple of God there. The Bible says on that pillar, God's name will be written. Somehow God is going to once again mark you, just like the white stone. He's going to mark you as one of the pillars. You will be clearly identified as an overcomer. Somehow, when you get to heaven as an overcomer, God is going to make you one of the pillars of His temple there. And everybody there is going to say, everybody there when they look at you, everybody there is going to say, Jerry Lowther, that guy right there, God has marked him. He's part of the backbone of this place. That's what it means by making you a pillar of God. Why? You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. You see, the Bible teaches that there are rewards for the overcomers. What are those rewards? God said one of the rewards for an overcomer is the fact that you'll go to the Garden of Eden, restructured, called the Garden of Paradise, and you'll actually get to walk in with no devil there, and you'll eat of the tree of life. Not only that, you'll get to go through the first death, maybe with some suffering, but they can't do anything more to you because you don't have to face the second death. You'll eat of the hidden manna, the angel food. Not only that, you'll have that gift of that white stone, that Super Bowl type ring. Not only that, you'll have power over nations. Not only that, you'll get to be with the morning star in a special way. But not only that, you're going to be part of the backbone of the church. Not only that, God is going to mark you so everybody knows you're that pillar or you're that powerful person that overcame in this life. Then there's the overcomers of Revelation chapter 3, verse number 21, where it says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Oh, brother. Man, I've won it. No wonder I preached it 3 times today. I'm going to preach it again. Honey, get ready. We're going home. You're going to hear it again. Oh, boy. Do you realize what he just said? Listen to the words in the scripture. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Sit with me in my throne. Let me tell you what that means. Levi, come up here, buddy. You can leave your camo jacket on this time. You're all right. Come on. You're a redneck. You just wear that camo jacket, buddy. I will be Jesus for a moment. Levi is an overcomer. The Bible says Jesus sits in a throne. And the Bible teaches that the overcomers are going to be granted permission to sit with Jesus in His throne. I think you're going to sit on Jesus' lap.
Amen. Amen.
That's better than Santa.
Amen.
Thank you, Levi. Be careful there, buddy.
Amen.
I tell you what. I don't know if this is good preaching, but that's cool. One day, you will get to heaven, and the Lord is going to say, okay, overcomer, okay, here's what we're going to do, overcomer. You come with me. Everybody else is going to be bowing at the throne, singing holy, holy, holy. And God's going to look down and say, Alvin Tanner, you come here, buddy. And God's going to call Brother Tanner up, and he's going to say, sit right here. Everybody else going to peek, you know, how you peek when you pray. Look at that guy. He's got manna on his chin. He's been eating angel food. He's got him a white stone. Look at that. Look at him. Oh, look. He's sitting. If somebody has a phone, please turn it off. Well, somebody does have a phone. Please turn it off. He's there. And he's sitting at the throne of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a gift. What a special treat. Did you know something? If you're sitting with Jesus Christ, we got her under control there. We may make a rule after tonight that no choir members are to take phones into the choir. That way they don't get embarrassed about not turning them off, okay? We'll talk about it, though. Hey, let me tell you something about this one right here. Not only will you sit with Jesus in His throne, guess who's sitting right beside Him?
Amen.
See, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
Hey, if that don't send cold chills up your back, you probably just need to shave your back or something. There's something wrong there. Oh, wow. You say, Brother Owens, I've always wanted someone that I could cuddle up with, that I could trust that wouldn't hurt me. Jesus. So how can I get it? Overcome. Tough it out, Christian. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit now. You may be giving up the opportunity to sit on the lap of Jesus Christ in the presence of God the Father. It's only for overcomers. The Bible doesn't say that's for everybody. It's for those that overcome. Those that overcome. Those that have the white stone of victory. Those that have the taste of manna and the tree of life in their mouth. Those that have not tasted any suffering from that second death. Those that will help Him to rule the nation. Those that are the backbone of God's church in heaven. The temple of God. The overcomers, you see. The overcomers. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 7. I'm going to have to quit. I don't want to quit, but I'm going to have to quit. Let me give you one more. The Bible teaches that in Revelation 21, 7, it says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Just like the reading of a will, the Bible says that in heaven you will become an inheritor. You will receive a special inheritance because you're an overcomer. Wow. An inheritance given to me by my Heavenly Father. You know something? I don't really think I would blame a parent. Brother Young, if a parent reared their kids all their life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, let's say they have a couple of kids. Let's say one of the kids is an overcomer in life and works at it, and keeps on going for God, and the other one quits. I don't think I'd blame a father for giving the overcomer a little extra. All my kids here, you better remember that. So, you know, that is the way my will reads. My kids know that. You don't serve God, you'll get very little out of me. Your Heavenly Father has some special things for you. You need to be an overcomer. Be an overcomer. Be an overcomer. You say, I don't know if I can. You don't have to do it by yourself.
Jesus said, the very first passage of Scripture I share with you, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Have peace. You can do that same. You can do the same thing. You can be an overcomer. You can. Others have. The Bible says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth in Jesus is the Son of God. The day he got saved, he placed inside you himself, and he gives you the power, and he'll aid you to be an overcomer. Your problem is you don't use the power. You can overcome. And I don't know what you need to overcome, but you can overcome. You can overcome. Hey, you will not reach perfection, but you ought to be striving for it. You can overcome. What is it, teenager? What is it you need to overcome? Not only is there the reward of becoming an overcomer, look at everything that God says to the overcomers. He says that we will not suffer that second death. Not only that, he said, you're not going to have to worry. He said, if you're an overcomer, you're going to eat of the tree of life in a reconstructed Garden of Eden. He said, I'm going to let you eat of some hidden manna, some angel food, and there's a special white stone that I'll give you that marks you as an overcomer. You help me to preside and rule and have power over nations, and I'll give you in a special way the morning star, Jesus Christ. You become a pillar of the backbone of the temple of God. His name will be written on you, so again, you are clearly marked as a person of backbone, a conqueror. You will sit with Jesus Christ in his throne at the right hand of the Father. And you inherit some things that others may not know of. My brother-in-law, Hans, passed away a couple of years ago with brain cancer. My wife had gone down and she spent days with him. Right before he passed away, my wife spent one whole night playing Hans's piano and singing gospel hymns to Hans as he was slipping into eternity to go and meet his Maker. He passed away, and my wife is so pleased because Hans left to my wife that piano. That piano was a picture of spirituality to him, and he just wanted to leave her something that was an inheritance that would be special. Because it exalted the name of God and it sang him into heaven. Let me tell you something, folks. You may have some rough times and you may go through some tough times. But you need to be an overcomer. And you can be an overcomer. Everybody here faces something different. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. You say, well, nobody. Yeah, somebody else is going through exactly what you're going through. Somebody else is going through tougher than what you're going through. And others have gone through what you're going through with flying colors. And they have the same God and the same Bible and the Holy Spirit. You can overcome. And He wants you to overcome. And you need to overcome. You know, I look around my church, Brother Hall, Brother Young. You know what? I don't want to embarrass any of us here, but you know what we are? We're not a bunch of flashy. Not a bunch of blue bloods. I'm just a dumb old country boy from the fields of Indiana. Bunch of average people. But you know what will make this church above average? The people in this church are overcomers. We don't have a lot of flash. We don't have a bunch of blue bloods. We are not the cream of the crop. And we might as well go ahead and accept that we're a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Half of us, our lives have been a mess in the past. We've not lived up to our potential. We've not done what we could have done. We've taken the rough route, the tough route, and the wrong route many times. But I'll tell you something, what God can do with a group of people like that, if they just say, I'm not much, but I'll take another step. I don't know, it hurts. I'll take another step. I will be an overcomer. I'll keep on going. I'll be faithful to the end. God does not need a bunch of pretty boys. God does not need a bunch of blue buds. God needs some people that say, you knocked me down, I'm getting back up. You kicked me, but I'm not going to quit. I'll keep going. I will overcome by the power of God. I'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And then God said, you've done a good job. Come on to glory. I've got some things for you. And some of the blue bloods, the hot shots, they're going to watch you sitting on Jesus' lap. They're going to say, wow, look at that. That old Christian, I watched them struggle and struggle and struggle. God's honored them above me. Look at that stone. And the hot shots and the pretty boys, they're going to look up to you and say, right there they are. The overcomers, rewarded by God. Rewarded by God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, overcome your pride and get saved tonight. He'll do all the saving. You just got to overcome yourself and allow Him to do it. Quit trying to do it yourself or letting anything else do it. Let Jesus save you. But I believe there's all sorts of people in this house. You need to discern tonight. And you need to decide, with God's help, I'll be an overcomer. I'll be an overcomer. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play at this time. I'll ask...